Good morning. It is a blessing to be here, and Christ is risen, amen? There is hope for us to live today. There is hope to come to church. There is hope to raise our family. There is hope to bore kids in this world, because there is hope in Christ, amen? There is no reason to be afraid. Some people are afraid what's going to happen tomorrow. But we have hope, amen? God bless you guys. Today I have something on my heart that I would like to share, and it's an eye-opening was for me when I was praying and researching a little bit and studying this passage of the Word of God. And it's amazing to see that the Word of God always backs it up with another passages, and there is always points to the cross, always points to Jesus. And the title of my message today will be A Time in History That Changed Everything. A Time in History That Changed Everything. There were many events that took place throughout the course of history. Many of those events changed history, some for good, and some events changed it for bad. But nevertheless, those events had an impact on the history that we live in today. For example, when we say, or when we hear somebody say Hitler, the name Hitler, where does our mind go? If we went to school and learned a little bit of history, our minds go that he was a bad guy. He was one of the Nazis that just killed millions of Jews under his authority, under his hand, under his command. And World War II broke. He was heavily involved in that. And our mind just goes and be like, yeah, that was a bad moment for history. But nevertheless, it happened. It impacted in so many ways that cannot be turned back. And we can't go back and change things. Thousands and millions of people died. Some of them because of no reason. Just because of their race. Just because of their beliefs. Just because how they looked like. And that had an impact upon the surrounding areas of Germany. And throughout this day, there is, in some people's hearts, there is envy. And there's something in their hearts that goes against some other people, some other nationalities, because of what happened. And that was an impact that impacted negatively on our history. When we say or hear, tear down this wall, I know our mind might go to former President Reagan, when he was calling for Russia to tear down the wall and to break down the Soviet Union, the regime of communism. And when we hear about that right away, we go in 1989 when that happened. And that wall finally came down and the Soviet Union broke apart and communism fell apart and freedom came into Russia and the gospel began to be preached. Ukraine became independent. And the gospel began greatly to be preached in Ukraine when before you couldn't get in the house. I remember my parents, when they were growing up, if they wanted to pray, if they wanted to sing, they had to put pillows in the windows, in the door. Somebody had to be on the road or on the door. If somebody would come, the KGB would come, they would have to come and tell everybody to hide. And they were singing, not loudly like we were today. They were singing quietly, but there was such a joy in their heart to seek the Lord. And then finally, when 1989, when the wall broke down and freedom just broke, the gospel is being preached around the world because it's the power of salvation in man. Amen. One third example that I want to bring is the Civil War in America. And when somebody says Civil War, our mind just goes north and south. Our mind goes to slavery. Our mind goes to independence. And people fought for that. And we are who we are today, 50 states united, because of that point in history that changed everything. And many people lay down their lives for us to have that freedom. And for us to be able not to have slaves anymore. But for us to be able to look at the other race in the eyes and know that we're equal. There is no greater, there is no less. But in God's eyes, we're equal. And people fought for their rights. Of a human rights. But I know that God also fought for us. For the spiritual freedom in our life. Amen. We are who we are today. Because of history. History changed everything. But nevertheless, I want to talk today. About a history that took an event. More than 2,000 years ago. On the mountain of Calvary. The history that impacted not only relationships and racism. But a history that impacted the freedom. That brings within our lives and our hearts.
This event not only had the power to change history, but also change the hearts, the minds, the lifestyle of people, and break people free from the bondage of sin and the chains of the enemy. I want to talk about how this history impacted not only the surrounding areas at that time, but also it never stopped impacting the history even today. A lot of times when history happened in the past, it brought only a certain freedom or certain changes in those areas. But when God came and changed the history, it was for good, for the best for us. And He didn't have intentions that were evil. He was for us, not against us. And that's why, because of more than 2,000 years ago, the history was changed at the Calvary. We are here today. We can gather together, sing and praise God and do all these things because He loved us. Because He loved us. Many people gave probably a question and they were asking other people, who is this man hanging on the tree? Who is this man that came and gave his life, so to speak, for others? He wants to save others but can't save himself. What was holding him on the cross? What was keeping him there? He had the power and the authority to come down from that cross. He had the power and the authority to say, you know what? I don't want to go further in this history. I want to end my history here. And some people might say, well, obedience kept him on the cross. And that's partially true. Others might say, well, the nails that were pierced through his hands and through his feet, the nails were keeping him on that rotting cross. And partially that's true as well. Some people might say, well, in Galatians it says that the curse was upon him. And the curse was keeping him on that cross. And partially, brothers and sisters, that's the truth as well. And one of the other thoughts are that, you know what? Our sin kept him on a cross. And partially it's true as well. But I want to emphasize today something that kept him dearly on that cross. And he couldn't give up. And that was the love that he had for us. Love kept him on a cross. Love kept him on a cross. The Bible says in John 15, 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that they will lay down one's life for his friend. Another passage says that for a good friend, somebody maybe would be willing to lay down their life. But what about for the evil? What about for somebody that is an enemy of yours? And Christ came, yet when we were enemies to him, he loved us so much that he came and died on a cross and resurrected the third day because he loved us. He could have come down from that cross. And none of those nails, none of those things, none of those things that the people did to him wouldn't matter because he had the power and authority. But because he saw us in pain, he saw us in bondage, and because he loved us so much, he was willing to lay down his life and to hang on that tree and not to give up, but fight for us till the end. There was love. And when we began to study and read the scriptures and read some commentaries, where did the love came from? I mean, I know the Bible mentions a lot about love. But the first time that love was mentioned in the Old Testament was when Isaac loved, Abraham loved his son Isaac. And this when he was that, the question that, do you love him? Now take him and put him on the altar. This is the first story where the word love is being mentioned in the Old Testament. And I began to read the story. And I began to meditate upon the story, do some research and read and trying to see why. It's not a coincidence that love is just there. I mean, love is in marriage, right? People supposed to get married because they love each other. And God could have said when he created Adam and Eve, he could have put that word love somewhere there, right? He could have. But for some reason, it's not there. The first word that is being mentioned or talked about love, it's in this passage, Genesis 22, if you can open up with me. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. I'll read the story, and I would like for us to pay attention, because this story speaks volume about the cross and what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. This is the first time where love is being mentioned. Whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. See, Abraham rose promptly. He didn't wait. He didn't meditate when God spoke to him. It was a result of faith. It was something that he rose in the morning and he promptly went and was trying to be obedient to what God was telling him. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac's son, in his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do not do to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Amen. To this place. It's a unique story. And we all know that it was a promise given to Abraham that he's going to have a son. And the promise was that generations and generations, thousands upon thousands of people, like the stars and the sand on the earth and the stars in heaven, that his generations will go forward. And Abraham was in his latter days, and he looked at himself probably and his family, and he was thinking, what in the world? I'm already old. There's no hope for me. What am I going to do? Yes, I have the promise of God, but this promise doesn't seem to be fulfilled. Do we feel sometimes like that? When God speaks something in our life, and year after year, it's not being fulfilled. But the Bible says that the word of God does not turn void. It has a purpose. And it comes a moment when God speaks forth the word, and it will be fulfilled, the promises of God in our life. Amen. So it came a moment when Abraham had this son, Isaac. He tried in his own strength to fulfill the call of God. He failed. And then the promise was right there in his hands. He probably was walking with Isaac. Joyful. Finally. Finally, God answered my prayer, my cry. Almost seems like I'm about to die and there is hopelessness in my life. But yet in those moments, God comes and fulfills the promise. And yet, God is trying to bring a picture to Abraham of years and hundreds of years that will take place on the Calvary. And when we read the story, it's not just a coincidence that the Bible is going in detail of what Abraham took with him, what Abraham did with the stuff that he had with him, what Abraham did with his son. It's not just a coincidence. It's a picture that God was trying to maybe open up the eyes of people in the Old Testament, reminding them that yes, a ram has to die for our sin, but he cannot wash us and set us free forever. That's why Jesus Christ had to come years and years later to set us free. History was about to be changed, but not yet, Abraham. I'm just trying to show you a side of what's about to happen. And if when we read and we study this passage, some people say, well, God told him to kill his son. It was more a suggestion of testing Abraham's faith. It was not more that God wanted him to kill his son, literally, because God always was against killing or bringing sacrifices of human. So we need to understand that it was more about Abraham letting it go and testing for Abraham more than Isaac. And this story, I would like to just run through and see how is it parallels or what does it talk about the cross. In verse 2, it says, Abraham loved Isaac. And I'm reminding in the New Testament that God the Father loved his son. Not only his son, but he also loved us so much that he was willing to give his son for us. And the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It was the love that changed history. Not power, not words, not might, but a love that came and was laid down for me and you. And that was changed history. In verse 2, it says, go into the land of Moriah. Moriah, the mountain Moriah means Jehovah is provider. And sometimes we might think, or maybe in this story, Abraham was thinking, where am I going? And if you notice, it was just a direction, step by step almost. And he said, go and I'll show you where to go. And Abraham maybe fully didn't understand the story, but he trusted God. And this mountain that he was going towards, it's translated, Jehovah is provider. He had already a plan. The ram was already there. He provided a sacrifice. It just needed to be taking place. In verse 3, we say that they took wood with them. And when we read the Old Testament, we know that a lot of times when they were bringing burnt sacrifices, they needed wood for the fire. So Abraham, Isaac, they took this wood with them. They split it and they took it with them for the burnt offering. And also in verse 4, it says that on the third day, they saw the mountain. It reminds me of the third day that there was victory when Jesus rose from the dead. It brings me in the third day that Abraham saw the promise that God has promised. You walk and I'll show you, I'll direct you where to go. It was on the third day when history in this moment was being fulfilled. When we read in verse 5, it says, we will come back. See, it wasn't that day when Abraham and Isaac went on the journey and they told their friends or people who were with them that we're going to go on this mountain. We're going to worship God, but we'll come back. It doesn't say, I will come back. But it says, it talks about the great faith that Abraham had in God. It talks about the great trust that Abraham had in God. That even though for a moment if Isaac was to die, God was willing and able and was willing to bring him back to life. This was his hope. He was going forward, not coming back alone. But he knew no matter what happens, God's promise is still alive, because from this man the nations shall rise. And he said, we will come back. And it reminds me of the story when Jesus was on the cross and he died. And the third day, he came back. Death couldn't hold him down. No sin couldn't hold him down. Nothing could hold him in that grave. But the third day he came back and he met and he said, Mary, Mary. He spoke to people. He came down. He came back to bring hope and to remind us that his promises are yes and amen. If he said that he will raise up from the dead the third day, he did it. Praise the Lord. And in verse 6, we read that Abraham laid on the Isaac's body, or he gave to Isaac the wood for him to carry on this mountain. And this reminds me of the cross that Jesus Christ had to take and carry for me and for you on that hill, Golgotha. John 19 verse 17 says, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. It was a moment when this wood, maybe somebody else carried, or Abraham helped, or his friends helped to carry. But it came a moment when this wood, Isaac was supposed to carry to that place where the burnt offering was supposed to be taking place. And we see in Jesus' story, Jesus took the cross. But it came a moment when he couldn't even bring his cross because of the tiredness and beating that people did to him. And one of his disciples has to come and pick up this cross and help him carry. Yes, the Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me. But friends, I find out in my life a lot of times, I can't even do this. I can't carry my own cross sometimes. And sometimes, it's almost like Jesus was carrying his cross and it came a moment when he gave up. He didn't have strength. And he needed a disciple to come and help. In our life, when we can't carry our own crosses, even though it's a command from the Lord, I want to encourage you that God is there to pick us up, to pick the cross and help us move forward to the goal. Because we have a journey, we have a goal to go to. It's so easy to say, pick up the cross and go. But sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we can't bury our own cross, not speaking to bury somebody else's cross. And Jesus is the one that will come and help us carry our cross. Praise God. Because we're not alone. We're not alone. In verse 9, he says, he binded Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And he speaks to me of a picture when they made fun of Jesus. And yet, right before they crucified him, they laid him up upon this wood, upon this cross, and nailed him, so to speak. They binded him there. They nailed his hands and his feet to that cross, on that offering. And in verse 13, he says that there behind him was a ram. On that third day, God provided. On that third day, when Isaac was supposed to die, God gave him life. On that third day, when it was supposed to be the end of the journey, maybe it seemed like in people's eyes, God gave life to Isaac. And he said, no, 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 Isaac, you don't have to die. There is a ram in the bushes. His horns, it's all messed up over there. You go take the ram. Maybe the ram, it doesn't look cute. Maybe the ram, it's not really pleasant for you to go. Maybe the ram has a lot of spikes because it's been through the bushes and through the woods. But Abraham, this is the lamb that I'm asking you to go and bring him as a sacrifice. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ took the thorns upon his head. As the lamb that was in this bush, with a lot of thorns maybe on his body. A lot of stripes and a lot of beatings probably in this woods. It's a symbol of Christ being deformed for me and for you. And taking the thorns upon his head. The sin of that I made in my life and you made in your life. And bore it on himself for me and for you to be free. And in verse 14 it says, the Lord will provide. It was not a suggestion, But it was a promise. The Lord will. It was not, hey, you try your best and maybe somehow you will see something. But Abraham was saying, the Lord will provide. It's a statement that changes the story. It's a statement of a great faith in Abraham that Abraham had in God. They said, listen, no matter what, you will provide. If it comes to a point that my son has to die, you will raise him from the dead. And the third day, God gave him life and this ram was laid down on that altar because the Lord will provide. And the promise was being fulfilled because not Abraham alone came down the mountain, but he came with the promise that God gave him, which was Isaac. Praise the Lord. The Lord will provide. Some scholars and some people write down about this story. And they believe that on this mountain or on this hill, when we're thinking about mountains, we think about, I don't know, those mountains in Indian Town Gap. But a lot of times in the story, when they were thinking about mountains or hills, they were talking about somewhere maybe secluded or you go a little bit over the hill. So it was not talking about necessarily a big, huge mountain. So some stories, if you started this passage, says that not far from the place where Isaac was being, or Abraham was being tested to bring Isaac as a burnt offering, Jesus, hundreds of years later, died not far from there. Because the Bible says the Lord will provide. And the Lord provided a living sacrifice. A love that came down and he died on that hill, on Golgotha. And it was fulfilled. Hundreds of years later, the Lord will provide. Abraham, you don't have to strive. Abraham, you can't do this in your own strength. Because it's all about God. It's all about His promises. It's all about the life that He gives and the provision that He has for our lives. Amen? The Lord provided for me and you. Praise God. But if we were to talk only about that Jesus was born, and he lived a life, and he died on a cross, and on the third day he resurrected, and we're supposed to just end there. Where will we go further? When will we go further in Christ? Or how will we go further to believe what he has to do in our life? The story doesn't end there. Sometimes we would like to maybe just hype up and be like, yes, he resurrected, and we're going to rejoice. But it's a result of resurrection that he's coming back. The result of his resurrection, it's a promise that we're not alone. That he's coming back and there is a purpose for me and for you. Yes, we are to rejoice that he resurrected. But also we are to rejoice and lift our eyes to heaven and say, Lord, you're coming back. There's a purpose I live in this world. There's a reason why I live. There is a reason why I live in 21st century. There is a reason why you gave me breath today. There is a reason why I'm at Summit International School of Ministry. There is a reason why you're in this church. And we are to live with hope, not only for today, but for the future. Because no matter what happens with us, we're going to heaven. Some people don't like to talk about that. It challenges us. Because if we talk about our lives and what we have, we always will want to focus on our flesh and how to do better things and to be grounded more in this world and to put our roots in this world. But when we live with a mindset that I'm not my own. I belong to Christ. And since I belong to Him, it's a sealed deal. He's coming to take me back. And my roots and my home, it's not here. Even though we will live, as Apostle Paul says, temporarily in this body. But our focus should be, like my friend Richard says, I'm ready to go home. Come, Jesus. This is the result of resurrection. We can't just stop a resurrection because heaven, it's been a reward of the resurrection. It's a full package. Praise God. I read yesterday on Facebook one of the people that I know. And they posted something like this. It's a quote from his Facebook. It's public. Someone please remind me why I should care and what I'm living for. And people begin to just write to him and encourage him. And some people might feel like that. Can somebody please remind me, why do I live? Because no matter how hard you try to satisfy yourself in this world, will still be empty. And he's asking a question. Probably that guy is so tormented that he even posted on social media. Can somebody hear my cry? Can somebody help me? What am I living for? But I want to say that there is hope for us. And we're living for Christ. And when we live with the kind of mindset that I live for Christ, and no matter what happens, nothing can separate me from the love. Remember, from the love. Not nails, not beatings that was holding him there, but the love. And nothing can separate us from his love. And it's not about my feeling and your feeling, how we feel. But it's about the truth that Jesus Christ resurrected for me and for you to have life and life in abundance. Not just to kind of roll through this life like skateboard, you know. And roll down the street and kind of have fun. Not about that Jesus came. But he came for us to have fulfillment in our life. In his presence. Yes, we might go through valleys. Yes, we might not be rich or might not have everything in our life. But God promises that he will be with us. And through those moments when we're going through the valley of shadow of death, we are to understand that he loves us. And he's still with us. And we're not alone. It's a purpose why we live. And when we think, God, I want to go home. I'm reminded of reading news not too long ago. And people being beheaded, Christians being beheaded in other third world countries. And it just nuts what's going on around the world today. And sometimes maybe fear can cripple in our hearts. And God, will I be able to stand for what I believe? What if tomorrow we have a knock on our door? Like in Soviet Union happened. And a word would come, you're next. Either reject Christ or go to Siberia. In hard labor, you might not come back, you might die. And people went and laid down their lives. The history tells that if you go in certain parts in Siberia and you start digging in the ground, you'll find bones of people laying down their lives for freedom. Not just freedom of religion in the world, but freedom in the souls of man. And sometimes we can ask ourselves, will I be able to stand to the end? And by the grace of God, we can say yes because we hope Christ in Christ. Yes, because he's coming back. Yes, because we're not alone. Because God will provide. It's not about what you and me can offer. It's about him opening our eyes and to see the ram that was laid down for me and for you. And the price was laid down already for me and for you. And we are to live and rejoice that he has risen. That couldn't hold him down. And one day I'll stand with my open eyes and my eyes and your eyes will see the King of Glory because he rose for the hope that we have today. Amen. Praise God. Are you awake today? Praise God. I went to sleep around 2 o'clock last night. So I think you have to be more awake than me, huh? In the end, I would like to read a passage from the Word of God that speaks volume to me. And this passage is in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 18 says, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, again, who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God the Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. We have hope, guys. We have hope. He's coming back. And the Bible says that every knee will bow down before him because of his resurrection. Every knee will come and bow down before him because he conquered death, because he conquered sin. And he won the battle for me and for you. Every knee will come and bow down before Him and acknowledge that He's King, that He's Lord. So we have a choice today. Some people, they don't want to bow down before Him today because they don't believe in Him. They think it's a phony story. They're walking their lives prideful. They don't want to humble themselves and receive Him as a personal Savior in their life. And there's another category of people that God loved them and chased them. The Holy Spirit spoke to their life, to their hearts, and they received Him as a personal Savior. And they bow down their knees before Him here on this earth. And what a joy would that be? Because everybody will bow down their knees before Him because of the glorious God that He is. But it would be two categories of people. One would be, God, I don't deserve nothing. And I bow down before You and I worship You because You have saved me. You have rose again from death. Death couldn't hold You down. Sin couldn't hold You down. And I am Yours. I'm so thankful and grateful You have bought me. And there will be another category of people that will cry out, but it will be too late. That will say, I never wanted to bow down my knee before You. Only if I knew. Only if I knew, but it's too late. And there's a choice. Who do we want to bow down before? The worldly things today or the Almighty God? Because one day, no matter what, we'll still bow down before Him and acknowledge His goodness, acknowledge His glory, acknowledge what He did in our cross. In the cross for me and for you. We have a choice. Under what will we want to bow down? Under the will of God or the will of the world? Under the will of God or the will of our flesh? Who are we bowing down before us today? Let's bow down before the will of God and say, God will provide. It's not prosperity message, trust me. Some people say God will provide, all of a sudden they go to prosperity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more than that. Not something that gives you just happiness for a moment, but something that brings change in our life forever. And we can live with that. We can live because Christ lives, because He rose again, and because Jesus came and died on the cross and died for our sin, and death couldn't hold Him down. That's why we live. For the hope that we have in Him, not only because He rose, but because He also is coming back to take us home. Because we don't belong here, we belong there in heaven, amen? And let's fight for souls, let's fight for our families, to take them with us, so they can bow down before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Not in shame and thinking it's too late, but in a glorious humbleness to be there and say, God, only by Your mercy, by grace and grace alone, I am where I am. Thank You. I bow down. I don't even deserve to raise my, to lift up my head. It's only because of You. We have a choice. Amen. I would like to pray with you today. If this message spoke to you and you know who you're bowing down before, you might be walking with the Lord even, and it's coming moments in your life that you're bowing down to things that are of this world. And the Bible warns us about that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ did not came for us to live in licentiousness. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ shows us the victory over sin and over death. And it's a picture that we can walk in victory as well. Amen. Amen. So if this is you today, that maybe there's some battles in your life. Maybe there is some sin in your life. Yes, you don't hear many preachers preach about this. But this is the power of salvation. The gospel, that Jesus came to set us free from sin, from those things that are nagging us and holding us down and destroying our hope that we are to have, that Jesus, You're coming back. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed history and is there to remind us that we can resurrect as well from everything that you're going through, every bondage and everything that's holding you down. You are to resurrect with Christ, not on your own, with Christ. And how we do that? By faith, believing in Him and having hope. Not just believe and stop there, but having hope. Jesus, if I believe in You, You will come and take me home. And one day I'll bow my knees down before You because You deserve it. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to sing a song. And during this song, if God spoke to you, you know what's going on in your life. You know the battle that you're fighting. And I would encourage you to bow down before God in humbleness, and God will free you. It's a promise. God will free you. And let this resurrection that took place more than 2,000 years ago, that changed history, and not only history, but people's hearts and minds and souls, can change me and you today. For us to change our perspective more, that He's coming back. And there is hope for us. Amen. Be happy today. He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And what a glorious day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. And that's the result of the history that was changed forever. And He's coming back. And if this is you today that this message spoke, please come and bow down before Him here on this earth. And seek Him for Him to deliver you from things and to change your perspective on the things from above, not the earthly things. In Jesus' name, amen.
I knew this morning, coming into the sanctuary before the worship even began, that people had come into the sanctuary this morning with just something in your heart you were crying out for God to set you free from. I knew that before worship even began this morning. Through whole worship, I just struggled with the Lord. Should I get up and say something? But now I know I didn't have to say anything because He sent a man who has a word. And I know there are people in here, and I just want to reiterate it again. I just want to reiterate it again. The altar call is simply this. If you've came this morning with something in your life you need to be set free from, could be anger, could be something from the past, could be a stronghold that has a hold of your mind that controls your thoughts and is always pulling on your thoughts. Just something I just can't get victory over. I love you, God, and I want victory over it. But God, I just can't seem to get free of it. I just can't seem to get victory of it. Well, the Lord has spoken to you today in His grace. And He says, I heard that cry. And I'm calling you to come and bow before me. And when you're coming to bow before me, what you're saying is, Jesus, I believe that if you can conquer sin and death, you can conquer this thing in my life. So, I'm not trying to make the altar call more than it should be. I'm not here to try to drag up some big altar call. But I'm saying, if you came this morning, and your heart, you came with a cry in your heart, God, there's just something in my life I need to be delivered from. This is the grace of God calling you to come bow before your King, the one who conquered sin and death for you. And in simply coming and bowing before Him this morning, you're simply saying, God, if you can conquer sin and death, you can conquer this thing in my life. And I acknowledge you as my conquering King this morning. So, if that's you this morning, as they begin to play, come on. Come. Let's come and bow before the Lord. If you come this morning with just something in your life that says, God, I need you to set me free from this, come this morning. Amen. Let's sing it again. I just really sense in my heart that there are some people here and you didn't even want to come to church this morning because you just feel so defeated. Especially an Easter service where we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ and the power of His resurrection. I just sense in my heart, maybe it's just one or two people, but I mean, it took everything within you just to get to church today because you feel so defeated. But I just want to tell you something. It wasn't your strength that got you here today. God wanted you here today. And it's His grace that brought you here today, because I feel like in my heart, somebody's just asking a question. Lord, will I ever be free from this? Will I ever be free from this? And I just feel one word in my heart to tell you. Yes. 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 Because I bought your freedom on the cross. I paid for it on the cross. I conquered sin on the cross. I conquered death on the cross. The answer is yes. And I can't always explain the Lord's ways, but I just know what I put in my heart. Someone's come in and you're just feeling hopeless and defeated, and there's just a cry in your heart, God, will I ever be free from this? And the Lord is telling you very exuberantly, yes. Yes. Because I didn't die to leave my people a victim to anything. I didn't suffer on the cross and die on the cross to leave my people a victim to anything. Yes. Amen. So I'm just want to have Pavel just to come and pray for you. Pray what's ever on your heart. You have people bowing before the King this morning, believing that he's able. And I just want you to pray for him this morning.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we serve you. And we can hope in you, oh God. Jesus, before you died, you said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Father, you raise him up the third day. And we, into your hands, commit our problems, our things that we're going through, our lives into your hands we commit. And we're asking you to raise things up that needs to be raised. And put things to death that needs to be put to death. So we can live for you, O God. Lord, you came to seek and save the lost. Sometimes we are so lost, O Lord, that you came to seek us. And we thank you that you have found us and saved us. God, then help us. Help us today to focus on you. It's not only for older people to look forward to heaven. But it's also for us because it changes our perspective, how we live a life on this earth. Lord, help us to understand that when you rose again, we rose with you. And we have a destiny. And it's heaven. Help us, oh God, through this journey that we're going. Nothing to pull us to the right or to the left. Help us, oh God. You see every man and every woman that came to this altar. Lord, they're bringing their things before you. And I'm asking you, be the provider for them. Be the answer to their cry. Be everything to them, oh God. Lord, it's people who we're dealing with. It's not some things in the world or some object. It's people, oh God. And we have sufferings. We have things that are going through, failures in our life. And we cry out to you to help us. Because you understand us, oh God. Raise us up, oh God. Help us to be reminded today that your resurrection was not only a resurrection just for you, but also for us, for those who believe in you. So we raise up from the dead once when we were in sin to live with you forever. The resurrection is part of our life as well, oh God. And we celebrate that you have saved us. We thank you, Jesus. Let's thank him and worship him right now. We thank you, Jesus, that you came. We thank you that you saved us. We thank you that we can hope in you. We thank you that we rose from our deaths. We thank you that we rose from our things that were pulling us down because you have spoken a word and your word is yes and amen. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you're coming to take us home soon, oh God. No matter how dark it gets into this world, we can still hope in you and trust in you because you're coming soon. Lord, we thank you. We're looking forward to bow down before you because you are King, because you are God and you are our Savior. We look forward to just fall before you, O God, and just thank you for the miraculous thing that happened on the Calvary. The history was changed once and forever. Not for a season, but once and forever. And the history is changing our hearts and our lives because you changed it on the Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can go home with a smile on our face, knowing that you rose from the dead so we can raise from our sin and from our death and live forever with you. It's just a temporary life that we live here in this world, oh God. And we're looking forward to spend eternity with you. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Amen. If you want to stay in the altar longer and linger in the altar, please feel free to do so. Everyone else, let's just close in prayer. Why don't you stand with me while we close in prayer? And again, all you that are at the altar, if you want to stay a little longer, please feel free to do that. Father, I thank you for this time together in your presence, God. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, just the life that was in the worship today, God, and the strength that was in that special choir song today, God. Lord, I just sensed your strength in it, and I thank you for it, God. Lord, I thank you for the hope and the power that was in our word today, God. I thank you for the hope and the power that was in the word today, God. And bless our brother, God. Bless him, Lord, for having a seeking heart and a heart that walks close to God. A heart that you can share your heart through, God. I just pray a special blessing upon him today, Lord. And God, let hearts just walk out of here strengthened in the faithfulness of God. Lord, there are people in this altar that love you with all their heart. They love you. That's not even up for question. But there's just things in their life, God, Lord, I need to see victory in. And I thank you for the hope that has come through your word today, God. And Lord, we so thankfully bow before you now, God, as our Lord and as our resurrected King. We thank you, God. Lord, if anyone's traveling today, going to go be with family, Lord, just protect them on the roads. And we thank you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.